Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Right, that was the sound of cracking rock, and you are listening once again to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're glad to have you listening to the show. All you new listeners, welcome, because you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net, and we got some excitement because Super Tuesday is over. We're going to talk about that. All eyes turn to Mississippi and Alabama for this week. In the continuation of this slugfest, fighting it out for who's going to get the Republican nomination. And this show is lined up for you for the Tombstone of the Week Award going to a group in the administration. You got to hear this, getting their orders directly from President Obama, President Zero himself. Now, we got to tell you about the rock splitting Obama fact coming up at the end of the show. It's going to be about filling up your gas tank. You've got to hear about it. You've got to know what the president said himself. And we're going to have none other than Foster Freeze going to be giving us a call from India on his phone. And he's going to take some time out to speak to us. And we're going to get some clips from Rick Santorum himself. And we are going to get off to the races for a great show. I got to tell you, right now, right off the bat, there's something brewing in the air, and it is the fact that the Republican nominee has not been picked. It's not inevitable. Romney has not wrapped it up. Is he stronger or weaker because he won Ohio last week? Well, he did win Ohio, but he squeaked by, and he had to outspin Santorum 5-1. Did Santorum get stronger? Yes, I think he did. What about Newt? Newt said he's a tortoise and he's going to go slowly. But what if he gets run over by a truck and squashed? Well, Mississippi and Alabama is going to tell us a lot. So all eyes are on this week on Mississippi and Alabama. What can Newt Gingrich do? Will he appeal to the two southern states in the heart of Dixie? Or will it be Santorum? Will Santorum from Pennsylvania come down because he has steadfastly stood for conservative politics, and will he win over the voters in Mississippi and Alabama, or will Romney come down from Massachusetts and right down into the south of Mississippi and Alabama and sweep it? If he can sweep it in Mississippi and Alabama, well, he may be walking all the way in to the Republican nomination. So those are the things we're going to be talking about, and getting Foster Freeze on the telephone. I've talked about him here in the last few weeks. You've heard that if you've been listening to the show. If you have not, well, Foster Freeze has been a Rick Santorum supporter. Now, he is a multimillionaire. He won't mind me saying that, but he's really been a true patriot when it comes to business. He knows how to run business, how to make money and jobs, and he's been a big supporter of conservative and limited government and free enterprise. And so we are glad he is actually on his 50th wedding anniversary world tour. It's going to take him several weeks and go across the globe. Has always wanted to do it. It's his dream trip. And thank goodness he's going to call us from India. He's got a window of opportunity here in a few minutes. We're going to get him on the phone and we'll talk to him about why he is a Rick Santorum supporter. You want to hang on to your hats because we'll have some good things to talk to Foster Freeze about. Now, I also want to tell you about this week's show. I'm going to tell you about a little bit of football humor. We'll put a little football humor in the rock splitting politics. You haven't heard, Peyton Manning been released by the Indianapolis Colts. He's been there all these years, and Now he's going to find a new home. But I got a first football family story about the Manning family. As some of you may know, Eli plays for the New York Giants. But before Eli and Peyton became superstars, their father, Archie, played for the New Orleans Saints when they could never have a winning season, hardly. A great player he was back in those days. But I have to tell you, there's a story about that, and I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But first, let me tell you one thing that's really grinding on me. What is it that's grinding on me? I got to tell you some news before I get to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. This is why I did not like the stimulus package. It was such a blunder. $1 trillion almost. It was $800 billion. But by the time we're paying all this interest, it's $1 trillion now. And let me tell you about, this is what happened to about $11 million in stimulus funding went to create a service center. Where was the service center? Oh my, hold on you britches. It was in Detroit. And listen, there's an audit and the latest finding against the city's Department of Human Services, which has been under scrutiny for chronic mismanagement of federal funds. It said many of the department's leaders have departed. They have left since an internal investigation was launched last year, including an inquiry into the purchase of $182,000 worth of high-end furniture for a department office in 2009. It received more than $11 million in stimulus funding. That was just a beginning of the investigation. So now, let me tell you about what are we doing with all this funding? Well, let's see. When the audit at the Department of Human Services looking at that $11 million grant that came from the stimulus package, it came to help clothe low-income job seekers in the city. And you know what they found out? $11 million grant, and get this, two job seekers get some clothing. Among the most telling findings, Detroit News reports, which will be discussed during a city council meeting, is that a third-party contractor advanced $148,000 to a downtown Detroit clothing store and opened an account, but did not include the city on the account. Another example that money is not much of an issue. Managing the money, whether it's grant or general fund dollars that we have, said Council President Pro Tem Gary Brown. Wow. Is it any wonder what President Obama is trying to do? Is he buying votes? I mean, we're throwing money in federal programs that have without any kind of responsibility. That's what we're talking about. When the stimulus package was passed, it just rolled over any kind of credibility. And President Obama said, we'll know where every penny went. Well, let's get that audit going in Detroit. Let's see where every penny went, President Obama. The website that is supposed to track all the stimulus funds, they spent $18 million on a website, I believe, if you go back and check it. I believe it was $18 million. Have you been there? Can you see anything? Where's all the funding for the stimulus package website? Oh, I think it's taken off. I think they decided they couldn't keep up everything. That's what the Republicans ought to be demanding. What's going on with the stimulus money? Where did it go? Every penny was supposed to be accounted for. President Obama said he will know where every dime, every penny is. It's time for him to put it out there and let's see where it all went. If you can't find it, he ought to resign. Get out of office. If he won't resign, then we need to put him out. And that's the important thing that you know right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. There's three words that you need to know if you don't know them, and that's get Obama out. This whole administration, I'm getting to it right now. I'll go ahead and give you this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. It goes out to the White House. You know what's been going on. I'm not going to get into all the contraception, controversy. Rush Limbaugh can handle himself. He can take care of his own show. I'm not going to get into that controversy. I am going to say this. They brought in the cardinals. They brought in the bishops and Cardinal Timothy Dolan. And he's also the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he said at a recent meeting between the staff of the Bishop's Conference and the White House staff, our staff members asked directly, this is Cardinal Timothy Dolan said, he said our staff members asked directly whether the broader concerns of religious freedom, that is revisiting the straitjacketing mandates or broadening the maligned exemption, are all off the table. They were informed that they are. And so much for, quote, working out the wrinkles that the White House said they would do. Instead, the White House advised the Bishops' Conference that we should, telling them that they should listen to the, quote, enlightened voices of accommodation, such as the recent, hardly surprising, yet terribly unfortunate editorial in America. The White House seems to think we bishops simply do not know or understand Catholic teaching, and so, taking a cue from its own definition of religious freedom, now has nominated its own hand-picked official Catholic teachers. That's from Cardinal Timothy Dolan, March 2nd. Folks, we got a White House, someone who wants to be a dictator, sounds like. Religious freedom. That's what this nation was founded on. That's what this nation was founded on. And the White House is telling the cardinals what their theology should be. That is pathetic. And that's why the White House staff gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award, because they are telling religious leaders how they should look at their own theology and what their beliefs should be. Unbelievable. And this must be ended. Now, Super Tuesday, Romney, he did win Ohio, but just barely. Santorum was going through, and it was the cities, it was the urban areas that came through and pushed Romney on over the top, and he won by a percentage or so, and it was a close race. So Santorum showed some strength. Gingrich, he blew everybody away in Georgia. He's got South Carolina and Georgia. Can he get anything else built up? Santorum went out and won Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Dakota. Santorum had a good night, not a great night. If he got Ohio, then that would have been a great night. One of the things we talked about, and you remember, if you haven't listened to the show last week, Rick Santorum got the week's Tombstone of the Week Award. Why? Because I said he blew it when he ran in Michigan, and then he got better in Ohio. But why did he blow it? Well, let me just tell you, he was getting sideswiped by the press talking about, you know, the social issues. Rick, stick to the job issues. People want jobs, jobs, jobs. And so saying that, I did get to talk to Rick Santorum last week. And that's exactly what I told him, if he'd stick to jobs. And then I asked him, what would he do the first thing if he's elected? What would he do his first thing in the White House? And he has jobs on his mind, so he's coming around. We're trying to get him around so he can have a strong response and not let the media whip him back and forth. So let's hear what Rick Santorum had to say when I asked him that last week. Rick, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get elected to the White House?
We're going to sign an executive order to build the Keystone Pipeline. How's that?
Jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what we want. Keep it on jobs. And you know that I told you last week the reason Rick got the Tombstone Week Award, Rick Santorum got it, because I really felt like the press had pushed him off his key agenda of talking about jobs. So you notice he got his key agenda right back talking about jobs. And then I went ahead and I did get to ask him another question before he left that night, and this is what I told him about Foster Freeze and what we decided he needed to do. And so I did get to tell him some information. And I know not everybody running for president of the United States wants advice from Doc Holliday, but I had to give this advice because it's so important. So listen to what Doc had to tell Rick Santorum as he was leaving.
Rick, one thing, just remember, I talked to Foster Freeze today. You got to keep it on jobs. Don't let the press side squawk you now. Keep it on jobs.
They'll talk about what they'll talk about.
But you talk about jobs. And I apologize to any of my listeners if you think I got a little rough with Rick, but he has to know he's got to keep focused on jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what America wants. We got 25 million people wanting to work and can't find jobs. That's how you get elected to the presidency. And all this sideshow out here is just keeping Obama's dismal, pathetic record on job creation from being talked about in the press. So, Rick, he mentioned the first thing he'd do is get that Keystone Pipeline as soon as he got into office. So he is focusing on jobs, and Doc Holliday is going to help him keep his focus. You do it too. Let's make sure that not only Rick Santorum, but Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, it's got to be focused on jobs, and let's get us a nominee. Now, talking about that, and you hearing some of the things Rick had to say, I'm going to get to in just a few minutes. We are going to get a phone call from India from Foster Freeze as he's taking some time from his 50th anniversary world tour. So before we do that, I told you about something that happened in the Manning family. The first family of football, like to call. Archie was the father, and I got to see him as a young child when he played for the Ole Miss Rebels. I'd go watch him play and think every quarterback was just as magic as Archie. And I realized later on, many years, didn't see anybody like Archie till Eli and Peyton came along. But I will say, for those who don't know, Eli, of course, won the MVP in the Super Bowl again. New York Giants won once again the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning's been cut from the Indianapolis Colts. He'll have to find another home. Eli does have a home in off-season, not far from where I live, over in Oxford, over Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi is. But that was one of my friends was telling me just last summer, there was a young child and 7 years old, and his father saw moving over there at Eli's house, and he said, "Son, run take this football." He stopped and told his son to run take that football and go inside and see if he get Eli to sign the football. And the young boy rang the doorbell, and he saw the young boy step inside with the football, and they didn't know there's a lot of cars going on there. Archie, Eli's father, was there too. And then the son came out, and the little boy was just crying. And he came onto the car, and his father said, "Son, did Eli not sign your football?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, Eli signed the football, but that old man in there signed it too." So the seven-year-old, he didn't like that old man, Archie Manning, signing his football too. He didn't realize he's getting two great quarterbacks signing this football. But anyway, time goes on. I just had to give you that little break from politics. We get so intense here. But let me talk about this presidential race. Just before we call Foster Freeze, let me remind you that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, served here weekly. We're glad you're listening to us. We got a lot of new listeners. We're proud of you. Glad that you tuned in. And let me tell you, you can go back and look at the past shows, and we got a link to our Doc Holliday Tea Party series. You can go back over the last few months, and you can watch and see and listen to how this nomination for the Republican Party has gone up and down, ebb and flow. Everybody, we go back to Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, Rick Perry, when Newt made a big rise, and you can see how this whole contest has played out listening to the past tapes. And so go to the archives. And if you want to know how to keep up with what's going on and what's important, you listen here, because you're going to hear things here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics you don't hear anywhere else. You don't believe me, just go a couple weeks ago and listen to Reverend C.L. Bryant and the Runaway Slave movie. You can go to runawayslavemovie.com. You go listen to our great interview there with C.L. Bryant. Things are happening in this nation that the mainstream media won't cover. It's up to me
and you and us all working together to get the word out of what's really going on. And that is exactly why I've written a book called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And you can go pick up that book for the Herman Cain special, $9.99. 999 is still alive right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can go to my website, www.teaparty.ms. Order the book. Other books there you can see that I've written, and some conservative books. Go there and order some books, and I'll be glad you did. That helps keep this show on the air, and it also will let you know what's going on there. You can check out the website. And I also want to tell you, it's about this election year, 2012, why this election parallels the Battle of Gettysburg. All kind of things that you won't find anywhere else. It's original, and it's very important that you understand the battle that we are waging, the battle that we are in, you and me together, and we are patriots looking to make sure America is a place that our children can be proud and grandchildren can be proud that what we leave them. And we're going to have to work hard, and there's no better person to help us understand that than Foster Freeze. Let's dial up India right now and see how this AT&T World phone works.
Yeah, it's amazing. The reception is great. I'm on my World phone by BlackBerry with AT&T, so I occasionally get some good connections, but there's a lot of spottiness, too, as we travel around India.
Well, I'll just get to talking before we get any bad connections there.
Okay.
Glad to have you on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I know you've helped set up a pact for Rick Santorum. What exactly do you think Rick Santorum has to be president that other candidates don't have?
Well, I think that's a very good question, Doc. And the reason I support him is not so much because he's a friend for 20 years and I've seen him speak and know his authenticity and his integrity and his confidence. And secondly, it's not because I agree with all his policies, because some I don't. The reason I'm supporting him is because it's so essential that we beat Barack Obama, and I think he not only has the best chance, but maybe the only chance. If you look at the past, we couldn't win with Dole, and we couldn't win with McCain, and it seems like the old veteran war horses have a hard time winning. Even the Democrats couldn't win with Gore, and they couldn't win with Kerry. So I think what's exciting is to have a fresh face. He's 53 years old, starts each morning out with 50 push-ups, and the energy and stamina he has indicated by his Iowa activities where he went to 381 town halls, I think is says a lot. But
now, of course, he got beat by double digits his last Senate race. And people say, well, if he can't win the Senate in Pennsylvania, how can he win the presidency? What's your answer to that, Foster?
Well, that's a very good answer and a very good question. Number one, that was a terrible year for Republicans, as you remember, and right. I think they lost 23 out of 33 Senate seats, and the governor in Pennsylvania that year lost by 20 percentage points. I think part of the reason might be is that Rick Santorum felt very strongly that President Bush's surge idea in Iraq was a very sound one, which turned out to be accurate. That really turned that war around. And so because the war wasn't popular, he stuck to his convictions as to what's best for our country and what's best for America, and people can agree or disagree with it. But I think that's one of the reasons. The second reason is one of the other reasons why I support him, and that's because he backed Senator Spector, and a lot of conservatives were very upset with that because
they are.
Spector, of course, is known as kind of a rhino.
Right.
But to me, it's a profile in courage, Doc, because Rick told me, he said, conservatives may never forgive me for this, but Spector is head of the Judiciary Committee. At that time, they only had a 51-49 majority in the Senate, and
right.
a lot of people didn't think Toomey could win. And I think that was borne out by the fact that in Pennsylvania, Bush lost by 2 percentage points, and Toomey was to the right of Bush in a bluish state. So he probably would have lost. So we would have wound up having a Democrat instead of Spector. But more importantly, Spector came to Santorum, and they made a deal that Spector, as head of the Judiciary Committee, would guarantee that he would work hard to get the judges. So Rick Santorum says, you know, it's important for a country in the next 30, 40 years to have people like we wound up getting Alito and Roberts. Alito and Roberts. So here, Rick Santorum said, what's best for the country? And he's willing to risk his political life for what's good for the country. And so to me, it's a profile in courage that he felt having Alito and Roberts for 30 to 40 years was better than backing Toomey, who most pundits thought would lose. And in fact, when Toomey did win, he only won by one percentage point when the governor won in the same year, won by 10 percentage points. So I love Pat Toomey, by the way, and he's one of my favorite senators. And I think because he is so conservative, he probably would have gone down to defeat in that particular year. And so Rick Santorum just had to make a tough decision as to what's best for the country. So I believe that's why people should say, you know, they really respect him for his courage.
But Foster, you explained that better than I've heard anybody else on any conservative radio show explain that. So many times they're really hounding Santorum about that. And so I appreciate you bringing that out, that 51-49 split in the Senate. People do forget about that and how costly that would have been if the Democrats would have won that seat.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have, we might not have gotten those
Alito and Roberts,
Supreme Court justices. And so I think the thing about Rick Santorum, and Rush Limbaugh said that if you go to bed at night, you know any decision that Santorum makes is going to be made for the right reason. That's what Rush Limbaugh said. And I think if you look at some of his favorable ratings, are like 75%. That's unheard of for favorables. And people dislike him so much. And I think the reason Romney, who I also admire a great deal, has gotten sort of the momentum that he had early on is because no one really knew Rick Santorum. December 25th, you remember, Doc, he only had 5% in the Iowa polls. 5% in the Iowa polls. That's like 60 days ago. Right. And now that people are understanding who he is, what he stands for, he's had the experience in Washington. Most people don't realize that he was the third ranking person in the Republican power structure in the Senate as a young guy in his 40s and actually managed on the floor of the Senate, the Welfare Reform Act, which revolutionized a federal entitlement for the first time. It really did a remarkable thing, and so he's got a record having achieved that. He also supported the Iranian Freedom and Security Act and also the Syria Accountability Act well before other people realized the significance of what those countries meant to Israel and what meant to us as a nation. So I think those are other attributes that he has. Served 8 years on the Armed Services Committee. So once people look at all his past experience, and you couldn't ask for anything better out of central casting for a presidential candidate.
Well,
so I think he's got the best chance of winning.
Well, I appreciate your points on that. One thing I need to ask you, I know you're out of the country. I don't know how much you've been keeping up with everything. Some people have been knocking Santorum on is that he's getting off message. I don't know if it's the press, but he's speaking more on the, which I respect him, and I am a social conservative, but we're getting this argument about contraception, all these different things, and the number one key to winning, I believe, is jobs, 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 and he has a great a record on jobs, but we don't hear that. The press is not asking the right questions, and I think you know about that. They'll take a rabbit and run with it. How do you keep Santorum on focusing on jobs? That, to me, is
well,
the key.
I think you said it so well, Doc, especially in the early debates. You remember whenever he wouldn't get a question in the early debates because they weren't taking him seriously, and then when he finally did get a question, it was also always about the social issues. And I think it's a challenge for him because the press wants to emphasize these social issues because the press, I think, loves Obama, and they know they can't talk about Obama's record on spending or on the huge debt he's built up or the position he's taken for Israel. And, you know, he got 68% of the Jewish vote last time, And now, if you ask Israelis what they think about President Obama's credibility and record, I'm told that the survey, only 6% of the Israelis think he has their best interests at heart. So I think Rick is going to be able to do this more, focus on his strengths in the national security area and also on the economic areas where he wants to, you know, get rid of the taxation for manufacturers so we can be more competitive with other countries. But I believe you're making a very savvy point that he's got to figure out when the press gives one of these questions. I'm kind of just thinking in my own mind as they ask him a question about contraceptive. He says, well, let me repeat the question. What do you think would be an impact of no taxation for manufacturing companies? So he has to kind of, in a humorous way, just deflect those questions to get back to the economy, as you say.
Well, you had it right there. Somebody needs to help him deflect those questions. In fact, you don't know this, I'm in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Rick Santorum is going to be here this afternoon, and I'm going to try my best to ask him some of these questions.
I think he would really appreciate your very savvy counsel, Doc, and just encourage him to how important it is to keep focused on how do we get our fellow Americans back to work. And also, I think what really resonates well is, you know, jobs are so important, and not only because a guy and a woman need to have the money to put food on the table, but there's another psychological value of, you know, feeling we're contributing. I think it's terrible when we don't have the joy of serving others. I think that's something we all need, and, you know, regardless of what our job is, whatever it is, we're contributing, and I think that's why it's important to get people back to work just for our psyche and to make us feel we're contributing. So I think that's a very good bit of advice to pass along to Rick.
Well, and as you notice, if you listen to the show, Foster told me to pass that advice on to Rick. And when he came into Tupelo, I did pass that advice on to Rick, which you heard earlier in the show. And we taped this so we could get all that in. And we've got to close the show out. And we got so much more to talk about with Foster. So I will, in the next couple of weeks, be giving you some snippets of our conversation with Foster Freeze. And as he is continuing his world tour, 50th wedding anniversary around the world. So we're glad he took some time on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. A great man he is, great patriot. And he's got a website, so it's on the front. You can go to his website and check that out. And you can sign up to help out in this struggle against tyranny and a struggle against those things that are trying to rip the freedom and liberty from our land. Now, we got to go right into this week's Rock Splitting Obama Fact. And this goes to something that happened, you know, last week. Our president had a news conference, called it real hastily, and happened to have it on Super Tuesday. So, trying to drown out the news of the Republican primary with this press conference. And again, is this president political? You better believe it. And again, everything he does goes back and just complicates anybody that loves the truth, because those who don't think, they'll listen to him and think he's telling the truth. But everything he does is so calculated to smear the truth. And none better than during that press conference, a very short thing happened, but there was Ed Henry, a Fox reporter. He asked the president about high gas prices during the press conference. And he said, your critics will say on Capitol Hill that you want gas prices to go higher because you have said before that will wean the American people off fossil fuels onto renewable fuels. How do you respond to that? And the president, this is what President Barack Obama said. He gave a disgusted look and he said, quote, this is what he said, quote, Ed, just from a political perspective, do you think the president of the United States going into the reelection wants gas prices to go up higher? Is that, and he turned to the rest of the press corps and he said, is there anybody here who thinks that makes a lot of sense? Look, here's the bottom line with respect to gas prices. I want gas prices lower because they hurt family. families, unquote. That's the President of the United States. Here in the election year, a few months off from the election, and for 3 years, a moratorium he put on the Gulf Coast. He caused a lot of the offshore drilling rigs to be pushed and shipped to Brazil and Africa, and they won't come back to the Gulf Coast. And thousands of oil workers lost their jobs. Thousands. And hundreds of others all around these industries and the cities that support the oil industry in the Gulf Coast. And the Keystone Pipeline, he will not let that pipeline be built down from Canada. He said no. That's what you heard Rick Santorum talk about. The president says his energy policy is N-O, no. And here he is telling a reporter that he doesn't want higher gas prices, and look like it's a crazy question. That the question is not crazy. Again, this is a calculated person who takes the truth and distorts the truth, because for 3 years, this president has done little, absolutely little, to do anything to help production. And the administration talks about we have more production of oil and energy. We've talked about that before domestically. But the reason is because of what happened in the Bush administration is happening on private lands, because they will not open up the federal lands. And we can get energy independence with the right president in the White House and the right Congress. And that's what we got to work to do. So the rock split in Obama fact is this president is causing higher gas prices because of what he's done for the past 3 years. He is correct when he says there's not much you can do about the gas prices now, but the policies of 3 years are culminating into the higher gas prices now. That's this week's rock splitting Obama fact. And every time you see those, when you fill up your gas tank, you think of the O for Obama. The O, as the gas prices get higher and higher, it's because of Obama's policies. And that leads us to what we need to do as we end the show, to remember to tell everybody in November, we must remember, get Obama out. As I say that, let me tell you about next week's show. We are going to hear from Bill Federer, the author of the book, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. He's the author of that book. We'll be asking more about Islam and how the history of that and how it affected the Quran burnings that happened in Afghanistan, and the riots that happened, and the murders of American soldiers, and should the president apologize? So we'll be talking with Bill Federer, the author of What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran. Plus, we got more interviews coming from Foster Freeze. We'll be adding that. So week after week, wow, we pack it in here, and I wish I could give you some more this week, but you're going to have to wait the next week. And all eyes turn to Mississippi, Alabama, next week, and we'll see what that means with Newt Gingrich's campaign, Rick Santorum's campaign, Mitt Romney's campaign, and even Ron Paul. What's going on? You don't want to miss next week's show, and I'll see you then. Remember, in November, get Obama out.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.